He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
All right, good day, everybody. Welcome into a special edition of the Couch Potato Sports Show here on NDB Media Sports Talk with the guys. I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio here today on a Sunday morning. For that being said, folks, just to let you know, why are we over here? We have coverage of the Texas Revolution of the IFL on our program today at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. So that's the reason why we are stealing Sports Talk with the guys and NDB Media Sports Station to do our Sunday morning show. That being said, we do it usually here on Sundays. We're going to be talking about some sports, some of the sporting news that you've been hearing all week, and talking about your, man, my bracket. I don't know about you, but my NCAA bracket, boy, looks like Swiss cheese. it is really bad. But I've never claimed to know very much about the NCAA basketball teams. I do like watching the games, but I have not been able to. You know, remember, this tournament starts off with 64 teams, for crying out loud. I don't know how anybody can keep track of 64 teams, and that's why I love the IFL. You know, 9 teams next year, 10 teams. I can keep track of those teams, and the NFL only 32 teams. As hard as that is sometimes, at least we're able to keep track of it. It is only 32 teams. Baseball, just around about the same thing. So when you take a look at the professional sports and what's going on, you know, when you move to college, it's just so much to keep track of. However, here on the Couch Potato Sports Show on campus with Cuervo, Cuervo keeps track of them just as good, especially as far as the football is concerned, and that's what we're going to be doing as well. I join in and chime in what little I know, which is not much, about college football, so you'll be hearing that as we're going to be kicking that up. But the Couch Potato Sports Show, we are your nicotine patch that's getting you from the Super Bowl to get you into training camps in the first weeks of college football. And that's what we're doing. We're still bringing you football. Football season is not over. And that's one of the biggest misconceptions about after the NFL season is done. And that's why we bring you the coverage of the Texas Revolution and the IFL here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. One of my favorite things to do will be coming to you live from the Allen Event Center at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. So make sure you get on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show. Check out the play-by-play. Good, fun stuff. If you like fast football, you like hard-hitting football, you kind of like the tradition of football with hard hits and things of that sort, you're going to get that within the IFL. So some good stuff in the IFL to keep you going. Remember, the AFL is going to be up on ESPN this offseason. So football season is all year long. It just depends on how deep you get into it. And minor league sports, we love minor league sports on the Couch Potato Sports Show. As a matter of fact, I prefer going to minor league sports as we you know, go throughout the seasons and things like that. It's just a preference, of course, but at the same time, when you take a look at the football season, it's not over. Don't fall under the impression that there is no, that we're in off season. Get on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show, and you will hear and you will know that football season is not over with coverage of the IFL. So let's go ahead and bring in our co-host.
You didn't know?
In case you didn't know.
Your ass better call somebody.
Here on a Sunday morning, it's the fine co-host of this program. How you doing this morning? It's Cuervo.
Hey, Sonny. How you doing this morning? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You got your coffee and everything ready to go, and here you're talking a little sports here on a Sunday morning?
Oh, extra hazelnut. You already know I'm ready to go.
So yeah, definitely. When you get loaded up on the coffee and everything, it's good stuff. And you messaged me about, I think it was about 45 minutes ago, said we should do a show, and I got an hour before we start having to make our way out to the Allen Event Center, so let's talk a little bit about what is on your mind here this morning on a Sunday morning as we get ready to move into that being said, the Sunday morning roundtable. What's on Cuervo's mind as we get started here this morning?
Well, this is the time of the year, Sonny, that I actually pay attention a little bit to college basketball. And, you know, the tournament has been anything but disappointing. I think it's been a great tournament so far. Just enough upsets to keep you interested. But, you know, you got the powerhouses doing their thing and you know, winning their games and things like that. We saw Florida with a nice win last night. We saw a nice comeback by Wisconsin over Oregon.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, the shocker, I think, is really obviously Dayton beating Syracuse the way they did. Now, I had Syracuse, Sonny, losing. Actually, I had them losing their first game. I just had them losing to the wrong team.
Right.
You know, I had picked Ohio State.
I did, too.
to go up against whoever Syracuse was playing in their first game. So that part of the bracket was just all completely shot. But other than that, I'm not doing too bad. I did pick the UConn over Villanova upset, so that had made me very happy. With the exception of Dayton and Syracuse, everything else yesterday went my way, so... that's going on. Obviously, you know, there's always football talk, the draft and things like that. Baseball season's underway. So there's a lot of different things going on, Sonny, in reality.
Oh, yeah. It's a busy time of the year. And then, of course, later on today, 4 p.m., is IFL football over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So, you know, we're keeping our promise each and every year being that nicotine patch that's going to get you from the Super Bowl into the first weeks of college football. That's what we're going to do here for you. And as far as keeping you up to date on football, we'll be talking about it in our regular shows. We'll be calling football for the rest of this, you know, rest of the IFL season as well, taking you up to the United Bowl Championship game. So we'll be doing that. But I was looking at my bracket this morning, and my teams that Duke really hurt me. I had Duke going all the way to the championship game. So you already know how half of my side looks. So that was a big loss in the first round. I think I could have lived with it a little bit better if they would have lost maybe in the Elite Eight more so than the first round. But, you know, some of the other teams, you know, I kind of kept my eyes on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We brought you Rowlett High School basketball. Two teams that are in the tournament, Oklahoma State, one of the former players, Jeffrey Carroll, is on Oklahoma State, plays for the Cowboys. They're gone. And also Nebraska in the first round, another player from last year's basketball team is playing on that squad as well, and they lost in the first round. So I went with heartstrings more so than picking them, because I probably would have went the other way and I would have been right going the other way. But yes, the Dayton game was a big loss for me, is because I had actually Ohio State going on to the Sweet 16. So that was a big loss up on my bracket. So that one and Duke were the big ones for me over there. So but you're right. There's lots of other things that are going on as far as we got spring training baseball, of course, in Florida and Arizona. You know, are you keeping track of what's going on there? Is what news is rolling out of there as far as you know that you wanted to cover here this morning?
Well, something I just saw this morning, Sonny, is, you know, the Detroit Tigers trying to work a deal with Max Scherzer on a long-term deal, and talks have broken down. So I guess they're pretty much going to try it again this off-season, you know, going into next season. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, Sonny. I mean, that's a guy that you got to lock up. You know, he's the reigning Cy Young Award winner, if I'm not mistaken. I think he won the Cy Young. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy you got to lock up, Sonny. So I don't know what's going on in Detroit. maybe they're going to start looking in other directions if, you know, as far as Max Scherzer is concerned. But that's a guy you got to, like, you know, commit to. I mean, I think the Tigers really might have let something go, and they might not realize it yet, but come the off season, you know, they're going to have to – that's going to have to be their number one priority, is locking this guy up.
Definitely, and more Major League Baseball news. Opening day actually happened 2 days ago when the National League L.A. Dodgers made their way on over to Australia to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers, they beat the Diamondbacks yesterday 7-5. They got a two-game sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks over in Australia. So, and I'll have to be honest, I have not kept up with that situation. I just know that they won 7-5 when I was looking at the sports this morning. I had completely forgotten about the fact that they were in Australia. So I guess I got to ask the question, you know, do you consider it opening day, or are you considering when all these other teams that are about ready to hit their opening day is the real opening day?
Yeah, for me, that's the real opening day. I mean, it's one of the traditions of baseball that I would like to see stay around, is when all, you know, all the ballparks are opening, and, you know, everybody's just yelling play ball, and to me, that's opening day. In the NFL, you can get away with it, Sonny, because it's one game, and it's the defending champions, and it's the NFL. You're going to watch. So,
right.
I mean, it's not like – it's not like, well, you know, that Broncos-Ravens game, that wasn't opening night. In the NFL,
yeah,
you can get away with that. So, but as far as Major League Baseball, and on top of that, I mean, at least that game was here in the U.S. You know, not like Major League Baseball, where they're trying to become international as well, and it's just not going to work. I'm sorry. I mean, if you're going to
I got a problem with the NFL going to Canada to play the Buffalo Bill games. It bothers me. I don't know why. They got a great fan base. I mean, if now, closet Sonny, watching football, I keep track of the Canadian Football League. Why? Because a lot of the players that play in the IFL, in the Indoor Football League, they make their way up to Canada. If they can't make it in on an NFL squad, or they get cut, if they get invited, they usually end up in the Canadian Football League. That's kind of the way it works in reality. When you look at the Canadian Football League, they wait for cutdown day in the NFL, and then they grab those players up and say, if you want to come play football for the Canadian Football League, you can. And you see a lot of guys go up to Canada and stuff like that. So I kind of keep track of that. So, yeah, it's one of those things that when I take a look at especially baseball. And when I lived in Arizona for the many years, and when they opened up Bank One Ballpark, of course, Bank One is not Bank One anymore. It's I think it's Chase Field now. But I remember I was there the opening day for the Arizona Diamondbacks on their first game, you know, in history. So I was at that game. I'm a believer. When you got an opportunity to experience history and you can do it, you go do it. And I actually sat in, at one point, they had dollar seats. The opening of the first 5 years of the Arizona Diamondbacks, they had one strip of two seats in the row that they sold for $1, and I got there early enough to grab one of those seats. So I was part of history. So, but yeah, you know, there's something about opening day where every team is playing on the same day, and you realize you're not the only one ditching work.
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, and
right.
That's actually something I've been thinking about too, is, you know, opening day at Wrigley Field. I'm going to make plans to not necessarily be at work, but I'll be working. If you get what I'm saying, so
yeah.
Lucky for me, I actually work literally right down the street from Wrigley Field, so I can get away with that. If I need to come back to the office real quick, then it takes me 20 minutes to get there.
Got it. Yeah. So the original play, and plus with you moving back to California, this might be an opportunity. It might be a long time before you have the opportunity to hit Wrigley Field as well.
Oh, yeah, and I already warned my wife. I said, you know, that throughout the summer, half of my time spent is going to be at that stadium. So just throwing it out, just letting you know now. And she's like, well, I wouldn't expect anything less. So,
well, at least
she knows already.
You're going to make your way over to Comiskey Park as well, or are you just going to hang out at Wrigley since you're over there by work?
You know, I might make, you know, I might go to Comiskey a couple of times, but for me, that's unfamiliar territory. That's enemy grounds over there as a Cubs fan. So, but I mean, you know, I have a lot of guys that are Sox fans, so got to play fair.
Yep. Oh, by the way, just what you were talking about, the Detroit Tigers and things like that, Bruce Rondon is going to go under Tommy John. He is going to miss the whole season. So in 2014, there will be a lot of hype for him coming back. So just remember, you heard it here first. They're going to be talking about him coming off of Tommy John. So he's going to and geez Louise. Guy's 23 years old and he's already blown out his arm there, Cuervo. It's one of those things when I look at talent and I look at players and stuff like that, you know, I want to know why so many players are hitting that age. It's usually around 22, 23, 24, sometimes 25 years old when the youngsters are hitting it. And it makes me wonder what they're doing. What is the conditioning like? And, you know, they say there's no way you could prevent it. It was going to happen sooner or later. I don't know. I don't know if I fall for that, you know. But I've never heard that from an expert. I hear that from a lot of people. So, you know, when you go back to the days of Nolan Ryan and you go back to the days where guys were pitching 7, 8, in completing games, 9 innings, and now these guys make it 4 or 5 innings and they get in the win, and they're pitching every fifth day more so than every third day. I wonder what the conditioning's all about. I mean, when you look at that, do you wonder about the conditioning of these players, you know, taking Tommy John surgery so early in their career?
You know, of course I do, Sonny. I mean, nobody, you know, as a fan, you don't want to see your best pitcher, like, for example, if you're a Nationals fan, obviously with the whole Strasburg thing, you don't want to see a guy that young go down so many times with, you know, Tommy John surgery, shoulder surgery, and all these other things. I mean, the thing, I think, where the problem could be lying, Sonny, is what are, you got to look back to high school. You know, what are these managers, these coaches doing to prepare these guys for the next level? And I think the problem is, it's not that they're not prepared or anything, I think they're being over-prepared. And what I mean by that is, when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, you're not, your arm, your body is just not fully developed yet. And I think where coaches are going wrong is they are training these guys as if they are fully developed, and it creates, you know, hidden injuries throughout the process. So with that being said, Sonny, I think they need to, instead of worrying so much about preparing them for the college level, just simple development, you know, just simple developing. That's all you need to do. But what they're doing is they're trying to get these guys on a collegiate level when their bodies haven't fully developed, their arms, their elbows, the muscles in their shoulders. I mean, everything hasn't fully developed yet. And, you know, obviously as you get older, things don't heal up as quickly. So
yes.
I think that's where the problem lies, is just that they're making these guys grow up way too fast when it comes to being a baseball player. And it winds up, you know, causing injury later.
Definitely. And I always wonder about that, because when you look at the game itself, you know, it's a game, but more so than it's a game, Cuervo, it's a business. And that's where the reason why you get that. They're grabbing up players younger and younger and younger and getting them into camp, getting them into doing what they got to do in order to prepare, whether it's the minor leagues or whatever the case may be, whether it's on the high school level, getting them ready to go, getting them in special leagues to help improve their, you know, talents and stuff like that. I think you're right. And when the fact that this is a business is calling for these younger guys to come in, and it's calling for them to go ahead and, you know, I don't want to say put their careers at stake, but in reality, when you look at some guys, whether or not they want to do the Tommy John, whether or not they want to go through rehab and stuff like that, their career could be over before it even gets started. So really, when you take a look at all these injuries, especially, you know, young, you know, Tommy John surgeries, in reality, you know, I hate to say it, but it is true what I'm about ready to say. When it comes to the NFL, when it comes to what's going on, they don't care. They need the talent. They want the talent because the talent's going to make them money. And that's usually, you know, I don't want to say that they don't care, but really in reality, Cuervo, you know, when a baseball team grabs up a young player right there, they don't necessarily care.
No, but I agree with you, Sonny, and it's the harsh truth of the business. You know, it's
yep.
It's what's going to make me money today. You don't worry about 5 years from now. You worry about next week. So
yes.
With that being said, I mean, yeah, for some guys, they just don't care about has he developed. Hey, can he throw 95? Okay.
Yep, yeah.
And that's all that matters in baseball.
Yep.
I mean, you know, for all these old heads that are like, oh, the integrity of the game and the tradition of the game, and, you know, you can't sell hot dogs anymore. What you need to look into the more, you know, the more things that are going on behind the clubhouse. Like you said, I mean, as far as getting these kids ready as fast as possible and not caring about their development, and just making money. That's the integrity of the game that's messed up, in my opinion. So that's where they need to look at, instead of worrying about, you know, promotions and or whatever, the instant replay, and, you know, let's look at the more important things.
I agree. I think that's where you take a look at the game and where it's at right now. I guess as an owner, you really can't afford, in reality, to worry about that kind of stuff. And I think that's where you're exactly right, Cuervo. It's not about the integrity of the game at that point. It's about business. And yeah, you know what? Business is business, and I understand it. I mean, that's the reason why when you take a look at, you know, the games, you know, whether it's the NFL, you know, the younger, you know, younger, stronger, faster, the contracts, the way the contracts are written, they can cut you at any, it's obvious that it's a business standpoint. So when I hear stories, and I wanted to get your take up on this, when you hear stories about some football players not quote unquote living up to their contract, I kind of get on the side of the players in reality when it comes to that, because if a team can cut you, they got the contract for 5 years. Yes, they have the option to do that within their contract. They have the option of not fulfilling the contract when they don't want to. But when a player doesn't want to, oh, he's got to live up to his contract and things like that. So let's get your take up on that really quick when we talk about players, when we talk about contracts, especially in the NFL, the way they are. Obviously, they're not like baseball. You sign a baseball contract, you're there. That contract's going to get fulfilled. So that being said, you know, what's your take up on some of the players who decide that they want to take a step outside that contract and say, well, you know, I'm worth more than what you guys are going to pay me. I want more. I'm not going to show up at some of these things until I absolutely have to.
Well, I mean, you can't really put all the blame on the players, Sonny. And it's not even necessarily a commitment thing. It's, again, it's a business. And I posted in the chat room, we need the scorekeeper on this topic. I think, especially since we're focusing on baseball right now, I would really like to hear his opinion on this. But, you know, how much can you really blame the players, though, Sonny?
Exactly.
And I say that because the reason I say that is because how often are the values in the market changing? Okay, 5 years ago, the best quarterbacks in the NFL All right, Manning and Brady. We're getting paid, what, maybe $15 million, $16 million?
Oh, no, it wasn't even that much, Cuervo. It was around $10 million about 5 years ago. They didn't start making – I mean, until the rookie thing, the last one that was getting some big, big serious money coming rookie was, of course, Sam Bradford, if you remember. That's about when and that's when teams were, you know, the big Tom Brady's and everything were only making about $10 million a year.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm on my breakfast. But
yep.
The point I'm making is, you know, values are constantly changing. And
yep.
What a quarterback was worth 5 years ago is not what it's worth anymore. And, you know, from a top-tier level standpoint,
right.
Drew Brees, everybody's pay is going up.
Yep.
And You know, I mean, obviously you want to get paid for what you're worth. And you see, that's the biggest difference between the NFL and Major League Baseball, okay? In the NFL, you get paid for what you can still potentially be worth, okay?
Right.
In baseball, they pay you for what you've done in the past, what you know, over your career. So you take a guy like Albert Pujols, who, do you really think he's still worth $20 million a year? No, but he's getting paid that because of what he's accomplished in his career. And then you look at a guy like, you know, Ed Reed, you know, older safety. You know, he used to get paid, you know, $10-12 million a year, top paying safety in the NFL. Well, he's not
yep.
getting that anymore because he's older now and he's not worth it anymore. So that's the biggest difference, in my opinion. And, you know, as far as why these guys don't make the commitments anymore, again, it's just because the way the business is. They give
yes.
them the opportunity. You have the option to opt out of your contract. You know, and that's where teams are making the mistake when it comes to long-term deals.
Right.
Long-term deals are garbage now. I don't care what sport you play in. Anything more than 4 years, you're asking to get screwed over by year three in reality. Excuse me. So that's why franchises that still do these long – like, for example, I'm going to tell you right now, by about year five – of the 10-year deal that Robinson Cano got from the Seattle Mariners, he's going to be begging to get out of there. I guarantee it. You watch. By year five, he's going to be out of Seattle.
Well, that's because he, you know, I don't know. That's an interesting point. It just depends. If it's all about the money, he isn't going to complain at all. But if there is a desire to win a championship, I think you're right. It just depends on the mentality of the player, right, Cuervo? When you look at a Robinson Cano and that contract, I'll get to that in a minute. But you know, depending on his playing passion, and that's what I say, playing passion. And sometimes that changes, I think, within time, depending on who you're dealing with. You got a young Robinson Cano right now. So I think he grabbed the money. I think that's what he did because he's young, and why not? And you can't. You're right. You can't knock him for wanting or needing to fulfill that part of his life, which is make a lot of money. But when he gets older, like you said, within that 5 years, he's going to be wanting out. Why? Not because he doesn't like Seattle. It's because Seattle probably isn't going to do anything in order to win because that's Seattle baseball. If you're a Seattle Mariner fan, you got to really be feeling, you know, finally they got Robinson Cano, but what else are they going to do in order to improve that baseball team in order to make them viable in their division? So sooner or later, you're right. Robinson Cano is going to get sick of playing baseball because once the money thing is fulfilled, it's going to be about the passion of the game, and that's usually the way that it comes out there, especially on a younger player. Now, when you have an Albert Pujols there, Cuervo, that's a totally different story. That contract was written to Albert Pujols not necessarily because of what he did in the past, which was awesome, is what they kind of expected him to continue to do because he was in the prime of his career. And talk about the quickest breakdown. You know, there's certain contracts that I remember, and this is going to be – Albert Pujols is going to be one of them because that guy walked over there into the Angel organization and hasn't done squat in order to earn any of the money that he's being paid. It reminds me of Barry Zito, the Barry Zito contract when he went to the Giants. It was the biggest contract ever and never even came close to living up to the contract. That's what we're going to get with Albert Pujols, Cuervo.
Yeah, you're right, Sonny. And you know what? Albert Pujols, I'm going to say it. I don't know if anybody else has said it, but I'm not afraid to say it. Albert Pujols played the Angels like a fiddle.
Yeah, right? He did.
You think he's worried about winning a championship? He already won two of them with St. Louis.
Yes.
At that point in his career, it became about where can I make the most money? Which team can I sucker into giving me $250 million. Oh, the Angels? Deal. Let's do this. And players do it all the time, Sonny.
Well,
they
got a couple on that team right there, Cuervo. Josh Hamilton's another one who took them, and then there was another former Ranger who took them for a lot of money.
DJ Wilson. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yep.
C.J. Wilson, and none of those three guys have done jack squats.
And
I'm going to tell you right now, the Angels finally learned their lesson when they gave Mike Trout a raise, but guess what? He's only getting paid $1 million. So they finally did something right. Now, they have to be very careful what they do with Mike Trout after this season because
– absolutely.
If they commit to him for 10 years, Sonny, and they give him $200 million, it's going to be the biggest mistake they can make. It'll set their franchise back even farther than what it is now. I'm telling you, if I was a GM, I'm telling you, I'd be killing it. But 5 years, that's all you got to do. Give him 5 years. Make this guy work for his money. Don't give him the big payday because these players know exactly what they're doing. Once they get that big payday, think they care anymore? Hell no, they don't. They want that big payday. They want that guaranteed paycheck. And then they say, well, you know what? I'll produce when I get the chance. I'll get back to you on that. Where's my money at? And there's nothing you can do about it as a franchise because you have committed to this player. The contract clearly states you're going to pay him X amount of dollars no matter what. So you know what? You screw yourself when you make these big commitments. You cannot make big commitments to athletes nowadays anymore, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, baseball, even in hockey. I mean, you can't do it because these players know exactly what they're doing. They're smart. These agents are giving them these pointers. They're like, look, you need to hit 45 home runs this year. Go get that big deal and then drop it back down to 25. Or whatever the case may be. So
contract years are big.
And that's another thing, too. When a player's in a contract year, you're going to love what they do, but don't fall for it. See, these GMs and these team presidents and stuff, they're so caught up in their generation of how players were, they don't realize how today's people think. It's quick payday, move on, and that's it.
Yep.
That's why I'm so glad that the Cubs hired a guy like Theo Epstein because he gets it. A guy like Jed Hoyer is the GM. He gets it. Even Phil Emery with the Bears. I mean, he's not stupid. You're not going to fool that guy. He knows exactly what he's doing, and that's why Julius Peppers is gone. Devin Hester is gone. All these guys that wanted these big paydays, well, look what I've done. It's not about what you've done. It's what can you do from this point on. And, some of these GMs, they're in their 60s and, you know, hitting 70 years old, and they're used to, you know, guys like Ozzie Smith who went out there and earned their paycheck every single day.
Yep.
They don't make guys like that anymore, Sonny. There's not
a
shortstop out there in Major League Baseball today, with the exception of Derek Jeter, that goes out there and plays hard every single game and actually earns their paycheck. That's just not an athlete.
Talk about a guy that has been able to take a career, and if anybody wanted in Major League Baseball wanted to model his career behind somebody, it would have to be Derek Jeter. I mean, there's nothing that you can say bad about Derek Jeter and what he's done throughout his career. And this is a guy that lived up on that reputation, which obviously, you talk about, you know, some players being able to hold teams hostage. Well, if you look at Derek Jeter, he held that team hostage not because he wanted a lot of money. It's because his off-the-field character was so huge, and the Yankees at least needed one of those kind of guys. So that was huge for him. And so if you're a young player and you wanted to model your career around somebody, you couldn't do any worse than Derek Jeter's Cuervo.
No, you know, you're absolutely right, Sonny. And I mean, if I was running a franchise and the worst thing going on with my team was, hey, you got your star shortstop, he's dating too many women, I think I'd be able to sleep good at night. I'm just, you know, just throwing that out there. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it'd be okay. I think I'd be able to put my head on my pillow every night and know that my team is doing good. So other than that, I mean, God, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why I said, with the exception of Derek Jeter, you can't name me a shortstop, you can't name me a third baseman that you can honestly say is one of those old-school, blue-collar, hardworking, earn-your-paycheck-type guys. Now it's just, you know, you got guys moving from place to place, you know, just looking for that big payday. You know, they go into their contract year, and then there's always a team there that's going to fall for it. Oh, look at the year he had. And they go and they sign him to a big deal, and then you get the same results you did that he produced 5 years ago when he had just signed with the other team. So, and that's why I'm, you know, like I said, with the Cubs, they did this, you know, just what I was talking about with the Bears with Peppers and Hester. Cubs did the same thing. They got rid of the big contracts. They got rid of Soriano. They, you know, they're looking at dealing Jeff Samardzija by the trade deadline. The guy's just not getting the job done, so he's not a number one starter. So, I like the direction that, you know, my Chicago teams are going, at least I can say. But, you know, but for other franchises out there, for other teams, I mean, you cannot fall for it. These older GMs just keep getting suckered every single time. It happens every single time. Jacoby Ellsbury, I'm telling you right now, he's going to be an average outfielder numbers-wise. He's not going to produce the way he did in Boston. I'm telling you right now, Sonny, it's March 23rd. I'm calling it right now. Jacoby Ellsbury will not hit more than probably 25 home runs this year.
And won't even make the All-Star game.
Well, he might because of his name. See, that, and that's the thing, too. You know, baseball, the All-Star game, you get voted in because of your name.
Yeah,
you might be right, though. You might be right. He may not make it. You never know. But I'm telling you, numbers-wise, production, he's not going to hit more than 25 home runs. He'll probably hit 280. And just throwing it out there.
Some good stuff there. Also, some more news in the Major League Baseball. I don't know if I want to call it shocking, but it's got to be up there. Barry Bonds joins the Giants. And we haven't had time to talk about this. This is one of the first opportunities that Barry Bonds is going to be a hitting coach for the San Francisco Giants. Good move, bad move? What do you think? What's the? I mean, I mean, your franchise, I think, in San Francisco, I don't think is, you know, too much worried about image, obviously, since you grab up Barry Bonds and what he's, you know, been accused of doing over the years. What do you think about the move of bringing Barry Bonds over to the San Francisco Giants?
I don't have a problem with it, Sonny. I think it's, I'm not going to say it's a great move or it's a bad move. I mean, hell, we could, and I'm always going to stick to this. And this may sound like I'm defending Barry Bonds. However,
and before you say it, I'm not even going to say it. I agree with you. That's how much I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. I don't care how much you juice up. We can sit here and talk all day about did Barry Bonds juice, yes or no. But you could take 15 tubes of steroids a day. That will not improve your hand-eye coordination. One thing about Barry Bonds is he had good hand-eye coordination. Because with all them steroids, it doesn't mean anything if you don't hit the damn ball. If you swing
right.
And miss every time, then it means nothing. But the fact that this guy actually made contact with the baseball and it went very far, that's why he's the hitting coach.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not because he hit 770 home runs. It's because he can make contact with the damn baseball. Hand-eye coordination. That's all it is. Everybody reads into it too much. Oh, well, yeah, he's going to give everyone steroids. No, he's not. He's going to teach
kidding.
Them hand-eye coordination.
They'll have
Hell,
major
Sonny,
league officials all over that all over that
dugout,
all over that locker room.
It will, Sonny. It's going to be a circus. I understand that, but you know what, Bruce Bochy, I think he's willing to take that risk.
Why
he's
not?
To take the-
I mean, is that, you know, and even if he was taking steroids now, who would care? but he, obviously he's not. He's lost a lot of his girth. But when you take a look
right.
at a team, I mean, they've done it in St. Louis, bringing back Mark McGwire. I mean, so in reality, you
That's
look
what
at that.
You
yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're you got to look at these guys. Yes, they were on steroids, but. Mark McGwire was a good hitter as well because exactly what you're talking about, good eye coordination, what you got to do when you're going to swing at a ball. You know, there's certain things that obviously as me sitting here in front of my desk, I don't know about hitting when it comes to baseball. There are certain secret trades, and guys like Barry Bonds, guys like Mark McGwire, they have it.
Exactly, and I mean – we could sit here and judge their careers all day, but you know what? They're not players anymore. They're coaches now. Let's
yep.
judge them based on how good of a job they coach. So I don't have a problem with it, personally. I mean, look what it did for the St. Louis Cardinals the past couple of years, Sonny.
Absolutely.
They won the World Series 2 years ago with him as a hitting coach, and then they made it back last year with him as a hitting coach. Oh, my God. Worst decision ever by... You know, by, well, I think La Russa brought him on originally in St. Louis.
Yeah, La Russa did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now the new managers just kind of, you know, kept him around. So, but, I mean, oh, what's the worst thing that can happen with Barry Bonds as a hitting coach? Oh, my God, they make it back to the NLCS. Terrible thing. Such a terrible thing. Get out of here. I mean, and that's the old-timers talking again, Sonny. No, you can't bring them back. The integrity of the game.
The integrity of this game was blown away in the 30s and 40s, you know. Yeah, so, you know, everybody wants to try to keep Major League Baseball pure. Well, that's just not happening because that's baseball. That's people.
And that's when you
had the human element to something that's supposed to be pure. It's gonna get screwed up because of the human element, Cuervo.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, you talk about, you know, the integrity's out the window. I mean, you can go as far as pointing the finger at the commissioner himself, Bud Selig.
Absolutely.
You know, and you've heard the rumors, I'm sure, that he knew what was going on behind closed doors. I think if I'm not mistaken, you may know more than I do. The late Ken Caminiti warned Major League Baseball after he retired, said, you guys need to start looking into this. And this was the early 90s, Sonny.
Yes.
The early 90s. Ken,
I remember it.
Ken Caminiti. I remember him. He was a DH for, like, the Padres or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Solid baseball.
So I remember
player.
Him warning them about him. I remember the story, Cuervo, and he is one of the reasons why I've got a problem with the commissioner of Major League Baseball. This guy comes out like he is the cleanest guy in the world. Remember, this is a guy who owned the Twins at one point, or the Brewers at one point. He owned this baseball team, and you cannot tell me. And the reason why is because of Caminiti. You can't tell me this guy was not in the locker room at some point where they had barrels of this, bowls of it on tables to go ahead and take it. The fact that he didn't know about steroids in baseball is the big, you know, he's sitting there saying everybody else is lying. The biggest liar out of them all is got to be the commissioner, Roger, you know, I almost said Roger Goodell, but Bud Selig.
Yeah, Bud
Selig. He is the biggest fraud. This guy is the biggest fraud of Major League Baseball. Forget the players. When you got the approval from the commissioner himself, you know, and then, of course, he's got to back off of that and said he never said that. You know, who's going to question the commissioner? He sits in front of Congress saying that he never knew about it. That was the biggest and first biggest lie of the, you know, thing. And it started with Caminiti when he said, you need to watch this guy. I remember when he said it.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to talk about integrity of the game, you got to look at your commissioner.
Absolutely.
Start at the very top. You always start at the very top, and
yep.
You work your way down from there. So, yeah, integrity. I like that. I like that word. But when you don't know what it means, then
you don't practice it.
Or you don't practice it. Yeah, exactly. Then you have your thoughts, your statements, your opinion no longer matters. So,
yep.
I mean, to me, I think he's, you know, Bud Selig is a big reason why baseball became what it became in the 90s going into the 2000s.
Yep.
Because he looked the other way. And you know what? And it makes you wonder, well, I don't even think it makes you wonder, but my God, Selig was the wrong guy from the start to become the commissioner.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's because he was buddies with, the name just slipped, the former commissioner. It's not Upshaw. Was it Upshaw?
No, that's NFL.
NFL.
I'd have to look it up for you.
I do, too. But they were buddies. The whole thing, they were buddies, and even as far as the Major League Baseball and the commissionership, I think it even goes further back than Bud Selig knowing about all these things, and it goes back to the guy. Now I'm going to have to find out.
Hey, Sonny, I got
it
right here. Let's see. So you have Bud Selig. Wow, he's been commissioner since '92. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Before him was a guy named Faye Vincent.
Faye Vincent. Yeah, it goes back to these guys were tight. These guys were tight. And he was the one that recommended that Bud Selig take over the commissionership of Major League Baseball. And when this guy, he quote-unquote supposedly sells off his shares to the Brewers and to his daughter. Yeah, right, like he's still not running things over there. It's just the conflict itself. It just goes to show that there's no integrity in baseball. He is a former owner of him, and he sells his shares to his daughter. Okay, you know, there's no conflict there. Give me a break.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, you just, as long as you take the time to put all the pieces together, it all makes sense. So
yeah,
that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and it needs to get back. And I'm not saying Peter Uberoff was the best commissioner of Major League Baseball, but at least he didn't dodge things. I mean, when issues were brought up to him, Peter Uberoff, when he was the commissioner of Major League Baseball, he headed into it. He had no interest in baseball. That helped. And you can go and look at Giamatti and Vincent. They have ties in Major League Baseball outside of their commissionership. You got to go back to Peter Uberoff. The guy had nothing to do with baseball before he got involved. So That's why the integrity of the game is one of the problems as well. When you got the, you know, the commissioner that has a special interest for outside of just being the commissioner. That's one of the problems with Major League Baseball. But it's in the day, and those were the days when I was watching baseball back in the, you know, in the 70s when I was a little boy watching Major League Baseball. And the game has changed so much. I mean, just in reality. So, but one more issue before we got to get it. We're only doing an hour today because I got to get ready for IFL football over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. I want to talk a little bit really quick before we get out of here about Kobe Bryant and the situation. You've heard, I'm sure you heard about him defriending everybody on Twitter and everything else because he doesn't want to be known as being a part of a losing franchise. Because, you know, I guess I need to find out from Cuervo, what are your feelings about that move? Because I know you're a Kobe Bryant fan because of the way he plays the game. Now, the way that he's handling himself right now with the current situation as far as the Lakers are concerned, what do you think the situation is, and how do you feel about Kobe Bryant right now defriending everybody that's associated with the Lakers right now?
I think it's very childish in all reality.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, I respect the way Kobe plays the game.
Yep.
I'm not as big of a fan as people may think. I've grown to have a lot of respect for Kobe, and the way he plays the game reminds me a lot of, you know, the 90s when Michael and Magic and Larry Bird and Barkley and all those guys were playing. So,
yep.
But at the same time, Sonny, I think it's a very disloyal thing to do. I mean, that really shows his loyalty or his lack of loyalty to not just himself and the Lakers organization, but to his teammates. I mean, you just think about this. What kind of welcome is he going to get when he comes back next year? You know, I mean, it's like, you know,
What do you think is going to happen? How do you think?
I think he's going to try to pretend. I think he's going to try to pretend like nothing, nothing happened. Everything's normal. And when he goes to, you know, give guys high fives and things like that, like, hey, let's start this year off right. People are just going to look at him like, whatever, dude. You know, you turned your back on us when we
were
having
a bad season. So
you're
saying he lost credibility within the players within the locker room in reality?
Big time. Huge. Oh, yeah. Big time. I don't care if he is Kobe Bryant. You know, yeah. I mean, he's obviously the best player on the team, but I think he lost respect in the locker room. I really do because, again, he's supposed to be the leader. He's supposed to be, you know, the guy that these younger guys can go to, or even Pau Gasol. I mean,
yes.
Kobe's supposed to be.
Well,
looked
I
at
think
as
him
a
and Pau Gasol have always been at odds in reality.
You say that one more time?
I think him and Pau Gasol have always been at odds ever since he joined that team. I really honestly do. I think Kobe's been in that guy's face so much that Pau Gasol is probably very happy that he's not in the lineup.
Well, with that being said, then I think he burned that last bridge. I mean, I think the relationship with those two are done, and Gasol's going to be gone by next year because those two aren't going to be able to play together once Kobe comes back. So, but you know, I really do feel that way. I really do feel like, you know, he's going to lose some respect. It shows his lack of loyalty and. You know, I mean, to be the leader and things like that, you don't just turn your back on your teammates just because they're having a bad season. Instead, you should be doing the total opposite. You should be tweeting these guys, keeping them motivated, you know, keeping them a positive attitude and things like that. Instead, he just totally did the opposite. I think that shows very poor leadership, poor judgment on Kobe's part, and you know, I really do think he lost some credibility and some, and not just with the Lakers, but I think all around the NBA.
Gonna go. He did such a punk move by doing that. that he not only did he lose respect within what the guys within the locker room or even within that organization, he made himself look like an idiot for other teams. Now, I'm not going to say that Kobe Bryant is going to be on a different team, but if anybody was really giving him some thought to bringing him on that on their team, he might have just struck down that opportunity for him to move on to a different team.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's locked in for next year with the Lakers as well, Sonny. You're talking about Kobe, right?
Yep, Kobe, yep.
Yeah, I think he's locked in with the Lakers for next year as well, so he's not going anywhere. But even after this contract is up with the Lakers, I mean, even though he's Kobe Bryant, I don't think he's going to get very many looks, Sonny. I really don't, because he's older, he's going to want too much money. And people are going to remember this situation right here. And not only did he do that, but you know, on television, he called his team, he called his front office out. They were talking about where does the problem lie with the Lakers, and he clearly said you got to start with the top. And he said Jim Buss. And it's kind of like, whoa, you know, now. Now you're showing your true colors, Kobe. So, I mean,
Buss is not the worst thing in the world, because let's be honest, since Dr. Buss passed away, he is deserving of a failing grade. But when you call out his son, you're also calling out the rest of management. When you call out one, you're calling, really in reality, what you're doing is you're calling out all of them. And that is one thing. That's burning a bridge that you might not be able to get back up on. Now, granted, he may not want to come back up on that. But you got to remember, when you're talking about a guy like Kobe Bryant, who's been in L.A. his whole career, okay, this is a guy that has burned so many bridges of other things, such as a Shaq relationship, such as the guy down in Houston, his name's slipping my mind. This guy doesn't play very well with other people. And, you know, and we can look at his effort out on the basketball court and say it's amazing, but if we don't look at the reason behind the effort and the way other people react to that effort that he makes, you have to ask yourself a question: is this guy good for your locker room at some point? And I don't know. Are the Lakers going to be able to make that decision to say yes, he's going to be good for the locker room?
Well, honestly, Sonny, I mean, depending on what draft pick they get, I don't think they're going to have much of a choice. They're going to have to say, "Hey, Kobe's still our guy," because he's not our guy, then we don't have a guy, and we're going to even be worse than we were this year. So, you know, they might have to fake the funk. I don't know, but I mean,
it's horrid. I heard someone say the Lakers are done for their future. I mean, and when someone makes a statement like that, That is such a testimony to the team right now and where they are as a franchise, which means that – and these are credible people saying that the Lakers are going to be done for the next 5-6 years. Let's be honest. Kobe can come back next year. Who cares? And I'm going to say that because when you take a look at Kobe Bryant, you know, his knees are done. This guy is not going to get elevation. This guy can't jump anymore. His speed, he's wearing down. He's getting old. He's going to now fall into that situation as far as where he is in his career, more so than what he actually brings to the table for the team itself. So I'm just going to extend the show a little because I want to continue the talking and get our points in. But when you look at it, Cuervo, you know, Kobe Bryant might be able to play still, but this guy's going to be nowhere what he was. Let's just even say 3 years ago. He has fallen off the edge as far as his talent is concerned, and it's not because he doesn't want to be talented. It's because his body's not going to allow him to be as talented as he used to be.
Well, yeah, Sonny, think about it. He's been playing since he was 18 years old. You know, he was one of those, skipped college, went straight to the NBA guys, and he's been doing it since he was 18. So I think he's, 35 now, 36?
Yep.
So, you know, that's half of his life that he's been playing in the NBA. That's brutal, like, from a physical standpoint. So, I mean, it's there's nothing you can do. Father Time is undefeated, Sonny, as they say. And,
yes.
You know, Father Time is coming for Kobe now, and he's only got so much time left. But getting back on the ownership, I think the wrong bus is running the team. I really do.
I agree.
I think Jeannie, the daughter, should be running it. And
she came out the other day. She just came out in an interview 2 days ago saying that she is the boss. So that goes back to the same question. I don't know if I believe that or not.
Well, not according to their job description, she's not. But I mean, I get what she's going with it. But you know what? And you know what? All I'm going to say is, if she really was the owner, her boyfriend, fiance, whatever relationship they have today, would be working for the Lakers and not just taking a job with the New York Knicks.
And Cuervo, that's the reason why I'm calling BS on this thing. She's taking responsibility for what happened this year, and I think there's a reason why. And you can call me conspiracy couch all day long, but I think there is a reason why she's taking responsibility. She's taking responsibility so she can get out. She can sell her shares and go on over to the Knicks. Now, Scorekeeper has let me know that the Knicks are more valuable than the Lakers, but she can take her shares that she's getting from the Lakers and buy into and be a big-time owner within the New York Knicks in reality. And right there with – I think there's something to it. I think there – and it'll come out, and I'm going to be able to say I knew it when. I knew something was up on this, and I called this a long, long time ago, and I did. And I agree with you, Cuervo. If she had that much power, she would be – you know, trying to maneuver Phil Jackson to be within that front office of that organization. And then I got a question. Why wouldn't you want Phil Jackson in the front office of that organization?
I got three. It's a little three-letter word, but it means so much in business, politics, sports, whatever type of, you know, high-power profiting type of job you have. E-G-O, ego, baby. That's what it all comes to, Sonny. And Jim Buss's ego would be tarnished if Phil Jackson was the team president, the GM, whatever you decide to make him. Well, you
That's
know what?
An interesting point.
If you swallow your pride and let your ego go a little bit, maybe you would have a winning team. I'm just saying. I'm telling you, Sonny, and we talk about this every now and then, there are just certain teams you absolutely cannot afford to be losing franchises. The New York Yankees are one. In the NHL, you got the Detroit Red Wings, I think, is a team that should never be losing or have a losing record. They should always be successful. In the NFL, There's multiple teams, in my opinion, and it hurts me to say it, but I think the Green Bay Packers are one of them. You think about Vince Lombardi and all the history of the Packers and things like that. The Steelers are another one. The 49ers are another one. The Dallas Cowboys, obviously. Okay, so there's just certain teams that should never, ever, ever have losing records or be considered a losing team. And in the NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers, Sonny, they should always be a contender every single year. And Jim Buss is totally just letting this team run. And, you know, it's really sad to see. It really is. And I'm not a Lakers fan, but that's a team that should always be winning. I mean, all the
tradition
behind it with Showtime and Kareem and Jerry West. I mean, how much of an insult is it to those guys of the past? And not just that, but my God, your dying father's wish is to make sure that the team keeps running the way he had it. And I'm telling you right now, he's rolling in his grave with how fast that thing has become a downward spiral.
I think that's terrible. The key word, how
it really
fast
is.
It's been. I think you're right. How fast. I mean, geez Louise, I mean, didn't he just pass away last year? I mean, for God's sake, I mean, and you're losing control of, and that's what it is, Cuervo. They're losing control of their own franchise. And if, I mean.
And that's why they need a guy like Phil, Sonny. That's why they need someone like Phil to come in, put that Superman cape on, save the day, and avoid this becoming worse than what it already is, because you know what? As bad as it looks, it can always be worse, Sonny. It can always be worse.
Cuervo,
last thing you
and that goes within the fact that it can be worse, and when that's why I think there's something with Jenny Buss taking responsibility for this. I think and I've been talking about it, and everybody's saying I'm nuts. But I'm going to tell you, this is happening, guys. Jenny Buss is not going to be a part of this football team or this basketball team anymore. She's going to sell off her shot, and she's going over to New York. And you're right. Now, I don't know the relationship outside of what we hear within the realm. I don't know if it's a good relationship, bad relationship. They've been in this relationship for a very, very long time. And here's just yet another thing, and I'm going to point this out. When you have as much money as these people do, you know, Jenny Buss is not going on matchmaker.com and finding a date. These people have to find people that are within their same society, which means they need money. Phil Jackson is not hurting for money, and that's the reason why Jenny Buss is with him. It's not because he's the best-looking guy in the world. It's because the fact is that Phil Jackson does not need her, and that is the reason why she is with Phil Jackson. At least that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, and not just that, Sonny, but I mean, you know, successful rich people hang out with successful rich people.
Yep.
I mean, like you said, I mean, they're not going to go to matchmaker.com. They're going to, like Jim Buss, if he wanted to date, you know, one of the older models that are single, that are his age, he could probably pull it off. Hey, I'm the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, I'll date you. Like, it's
that
simple.
Hey,
yeah,
baby. That's
exactly.
Our list. Yep, baby.
Exactly. But you know what? When you own the Lakers and you're like, oh, yeah, we won like 20 games last year, didn't make the playoffs. Yeah, I'll get back to you on that. Like, you're rich, but you're not very successful. See, that's the difference. So,
well, that just goes to show where we are as a society. It just also goes to show that there is a certain thing going on. And I don't mean to be funny when I do that. It's just nature. Nature makes it to where it is. I believe that. I mean, because, you know, the last thing Jenny Buss wants to worry about is the guy coming up and, hey, babe, I need $1,000. She needs a guy that doesn't come to her for anything. And that's what, not only that, she's fine as shit. So take away from that. She doesn't need that kind of thing. And that's what she gets with Phil Jackson. We can joke about it all day long, but there is a certain truth to what we're talking about. And, yes, of course, I brought it up to be funny in the first place, but the fact of the matter is guess what? If you don't have to worry about it, that's only good for you. And when you're Jenny Buss, you don't want to have to worry about the other nonsense that's coming along with other things.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's why I said, you know, rich people date rich people. They hang out with other rich people because, you know, it's an independent thing. It's an independence thing. So, I mean, I don't know. They know they don't need each other.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about that. As far as if you are in that kind of socialistic situation where, you know, and it's got to be a pain in the ass. I mean, I get it. I understand it, you know, but it is what it is, right? It goes along. But you're right. Kobe in that situation, it's a bad situation. It's not good. And I think, we're not going to see the Lakers viable here for the next couple of years. I mean, 2 or 3 years, and the Lakers might be able to grab up that eighth seed, but actually making a very good, attempt to grab up the championship of the NBA. I don't think we're seeing it. There's too many other teams out there that are actually blowing them out of the water, and if they don't watch it, Indiana's going to pass them up, and Indiana's becoming a very good basketball team, Cuervo.
Hey, are we talking about Miami now?
No, Indiana. No, I'm just saying they're right now, as the Lakers are looking at it right now, they're putting themselves in a position where, you know, the Indiana Pacers are going to have a better opportunity to go further in the playoffs more so than the Lakers, even in the next few years, because they're building that team a little bit better. And I wasn't even talking about the Heat. The Heat's going to be there. Oklahoma State's going to be there. So Oklahoma City's going to be there. So there are other teams. I mean, the Spurs are always going to be there. But I think they're falling from that, you know, that pedestal that the Lakers have always been, and they're moving more so into the middle of the pack right now, and that's not Laker basketball.
It's not, Sonny, and that's why I'm saying, like, you know, there's just certain teams that should never be losing, failing
yep.
as an organization, and the Lakers is that one team in the NBA that I think should always have a winner. They should always be building a winner, because you can sell the name itself when it comes to free agents. It's just when you look at the track record, though, how appealing is it? Well, why should I come to the Lakers? Man, we won 25 games last season. With you, I think we could win 30.
Yeah.
That's not going to get to the playoffs. Like, you have to continue to build that reputation on wearing this Laker uniform. Look at the people of the past.
Exactly.
And you're not necessarily following anyone's shoes. You're just creating that next chapter in the Laker history. We're not asking you to be the next Magic Johnson. We're not asking you to be the next Jerry West, the next Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Or for all that matters, Kobe.
Yeah, we're not asking you to be the next Kobe Bryant. We want to know, do you want to be a part of Laker history one day, have your own chapter in that history, and you'll be known for that? Hell
yep.
yeah, I want to be known for that. That
yep.
should be your selling point right there. But when you're losing 60 games a year, that's a very hard thing to sell, Sonny. It really
Absolutely.
is.
Absolutely, and it's going to be something that's going to be hard to sell later on in life. So you got to take a look at where you are as an organization and how you're going to make those steps to become better and to maybe get back to that, because right now I don't see it. And I'm going to tell you right now, when the big dog doesn't see it either, that's scary. Because the big dog don't even see how they're going to be competitive in the next 2 years. There's a lot of things that needs to be changed within the Lakers organization. There's a lot of things that they're going to have to do in order to continue what they're doing and move forward. And as of right now, we're just not seeing it. So, but anyway, my friend, I do got to go. I got to get ready for the game here. It was good to hang out for an hour, talk a little bit of sports here. On that being said.
All right, Sonny. Well, I appreciate your time. Hopefully it'll be, have fun on that call tonight in the IFL game. Are the Wranglers playing tonight?
No, it's the Revolution. The Revolution
or
is playing at 4 p.m. today. Yep, 4 p.m.
Okay.
today,
well,
so it's all ready to go.
Oh, well, let's go Revolution. Hopefully they get the W. But I'll be here. The first game's about to start in the tournament. We got Kansas going up against Stanford, so that's going to be a good way to start the day off.
Absolutely, it is. It's a good one, and I'll have my computer screen up there up until game time, so I can watch a little bit of it beforehand. There's a lot of things going on over at the Allen Event Center that I'm going to be a part of, but I'm going to have that computer up and running. So we'll give
you
keeping
want me to send
track
you
of that.
Money?
Yeah, shoot me updates over. You know, people say, well, Sonny, how come you don't look at your Facebook during the game? They don't realize that I'm the director, producer, play-by-play, and the switchboard man, too. So I'm 4-1, so I don't have necessarily a lot of time. But do it, I might be able to click up on it. So, yeah, so give me some updates on what's going on.
So should I log in to the game and just post in the chat room, or
What's the quickest
I don't even get an opportunity. You could try, and it won't be because I'm ignoring you. It's because there's so many things going around me that I'm going to be a part of. So, but you could try to do that. You're more than welcome. By the way, I can if you wanted to watch the game, I can send you the link if you wanted to and the password and stuff. But, you know, a lot of people don't like watching the Indoor Football League, so there you go. But we'll do this again next week, and whether it's Saturday or Sunday or during the week when news pops up here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Mondays, I'm doing a little thing for a guy over in New York, and then Tuesday we have IFL Talk. But usually Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays are, you know, Fridays are not because we got a baseball games on Friday, but we're actually doing those on delay. So we're even up for a Friday thing if we have to do it.
That sounds fun, Sonny. Just, whatever you want to do, you can let me know, and then I'll be there.
All right, sounds good, and we will talk to everybody later on. We'd like to thank Roger Noriega and Sports Talk with the Guys for giving us the opportunity to steal their time up on their channel as we are set over on the Couch Potato Sports Show for IFL football. So for Cuervo, I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. We're out of here. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you in a few hours on the Couch Potato Sports Show.
Have a good one, Sonny.
Yep.
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He said, "What's that look like?" They go, "Well, you're not leaving."